We made this.
Welcome to the Starlight Ballroom. Hey!
Hello and welcome to Shipwrecked and Comatose, the podcast about Red Dwarf here on the We Made This podcast network. I am your regular host, Mark, and I don't have Kurt with me this week. But that's because it's a special where we're talking about how we came up with the theme tune and the logo for this very podcast. So who better to have with me than the people who composed the music and designed the logo? Carl, hello, you're the logo guy.
Hello.
Colin, hello, you're the theme tune guy.
Hello.
And you're both obviously regular guest hosts of Shipwrecked and Comatose as well, so people will know you already and your deep, deep love of the show that we talk about lots, Red Dwarf.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's all right. I've watched it once or twice. It was good.
And do you know, even though we've sat there and made notes on this show so that we can do the podcast, I will go back and rewatch stuff that I've already desperately overanalyzed and still love it as much.
Good.
And I was really worried that it would kind of lose some of its gloss after I'd kind of analyzed it more than I normally would, and it hasn't.
Do you guys make notes?
I make copious notes, and I've got like piles of notebooks full of podcast notes that I don't know, one day when I'm the most famous podcaster in the world, they'll be worth millions. Or maybe not.
They'll be in the Mark Adams Museum of Podcasting.
Well, you know, it is getting that way. In 2020, I think I was on probably about 15 different podcasts and hosted 5 of those.
Great. Where were we?
So we're not actually talking about Red Dwarf today. We're talking about the podcast itself and some of the behind-the-scenes kind of shizzle. We're going to take a look at how the logo was created and how the music was composed. So I'm going to go to Carl first and talk about the logo, because for people that didn't know, lovely Carl did our lovely logo. And Carl, what software do you use when you're making your logos?
I use Adobe Photoshop Elements 10, which is a sort of basic level version of Photoshop, because for what I use it for, I don't need all the bells and whistles. And to be honest, if you gave me all the bells and whistles, I'd probably go, oh, all right, and be slightly intimidated anyway. But yeah, that's what I've been using for all the things we've been doing. And it's been quite a good learning curve on making these artworks, definitely.
So when it comes to making a podcast logo, how long does it normally take to get from concept to the finished product?
It varies on whether I've been given the concept or I've been left to come up with it in my own time. For this one, I believe I didn't get a concept for it. It was just a, can you come up with something?
Well done, Mark. Well done, Kurt.
And I think I went off and I think I must have watched some Red Dwarf, because I didn't want to do it just as straightforward as, like, here's a picture of the ship and things like that. I wanted it to be something that could almost be classed as in-universe, which is why on the logo it's the Jupiter Podcasting Corporation.
Which I love. So we just literally said, can we have a logo, please, Carl? And you came up with that, and I was like, that's cool.
Oh, thank you. I'm quite pleased with it. I think it was the first big one I did, because I've been doing podcasts kind of off on my own since about 2008, 2009, roundabout. And I always made the artwork for those because I didn't know anybody else that could do it. But then when it got to this, it was like, oh, it's going on a network. Oh, dear. Better make sure this is good. So I'd have like the Jupiter Mining Corporation logo up on one window, and then I'd have what I was doing on the other window. But I always try and make sure that everything that's in my version isn't ripped off like an official image. It's just a recreation, so that people can't say, like, take that down, that's our image. So right. That Jupiter Podcasting Corporation logo, the mountains and things like that are PNGs, are sourced online to make sure that they were... Same as the fonts. The joy of shows like Red Dwarf is they have a very dedicated fandom, and one of the things that the more technical side of that fandom do is they'll come up with fonts. So obviously the word bit that says a Red Dwarf podcast is the Red Dwarf font, and I believe the Shipwrecked and Comatose bit is the logo, the font for Jupiter Mining Corporation. I believe that's where I got it from, or it's the logo from the side of the ship, the font from the side of the ship, sorry.
And is that a significant consideration that if you're using copyright images, you could get in trouble? Because obviously, as someone who records podcasts, I know very well, don't put any copyrighted music in your podcast. But I hadn't even thought about it when it came to logos and fonts and that kind of shit.
I'm pretty sure that you can get away with most things. Like, if you sort of scour through podcast networks, like I tend to do when I'm looking for ones to listen to, you know, if you've got like a friend's podcast, they'll probably put a picture of them in it, or the fountain from the title sequence or something like that. But I kind of like, one, like the challenge of coming up with something that's going to be completely free for us to use. Also, I think it kind of shows to people who are tuning in, oh, they actually went to the trouble of making a good looking logo without just, you know, ripping something from the internet. And also, I quite like the challenge as for a creative challenge as well.
Do you feel that it's helpful or a hindrance when you're asked for specifics? Would you prefer what we did with Shipwrecked and Comatose? Can we have a logo, please? Or would you have liked us to have told you what we wanted?
It depends. There's been a couple where they've been very, very specific about what they wanted. And sometimes it's not looked as good as it could be because of they've asked for a lot, if you get what I mean. If they say, like, we want this in it and this in it and this in it and this in it, you kind of go, you've only got a certain amount of room. And also the thing to remember is when you're looking on podcast apps, it's going to be shrunk down to like 200 by 200. So if you've got huge, vast amounts of detail in it, people aren't going to see it. You know, they might do when they're listening to it on the app and it blows it up into big if you were using that way of listening to it. But if you're looking to catch the eye on a podcast app, it does have to, in my opinion, it does have to be broad strokes, which is why a lot of mine that I do tend to focus mainly on the text in the middle and then have something nice around it rather than it being like an intricate work of art. I mean, if we were doing a record sleeve, then yes, by all means, you could Sergeant Pepper it and have a million different things in it. But for something like this, when you're browsing through and like, because if you type Red Dwarf into a podcast engine, you're probably going to get a lot of different ones, and you're probably going to pick the one that's got the nicest looking artwork on it.
Mm.
And for that, you need something that's going to, I can't click my fingers, but you're going to need something that catches the eye like that.
And I think we've got that. I really do. So, Carl, do you think that this is one of your favourite logos that you've created for podcasts?
Yes, definitely. I think it fits in with what we're doing very well. I think it looks like it could pass for something that's like an official Red Dwarf podcast, in my opinion. And I enjoy it a lot because it's one of the first ones I did. So it's one of the ones that is quite personal to me, for especially with how well it was received by you and Kurt, and that I went away when you came back and when you just said to me, like, can you make us a logo? I was like, yeah, sure. Walked off going, oh God. And then came back and got such a good response that it means quite a bit.
Well, it may have been the first, but it certainly wasn't the last time that I went, Carl, can I have a logo?
No, it wasn't. But I think I've done all right with that.
I do too. So, Colin, we're going to come over to you, and you might recognise the questions, but with the word logo replaced with music.
Okay.
So, what software do you use to make the music?
FL Studio is the main program that I use, but I also used a little bit of editing stuff in Reaper to put the Talkie Toaster sample in there. So, yeah, with the, what Carl was saying there about making sure everything's, you know, totally legal and above board, I've stolen a few things. obviously, the melody is taken from the Red Dwarf, Shipwrecked and Comatose theme tune.
Tweaked.
It's adapted. It's based on melodies hummed by Garth Marenghi, basically. So, yeah, it's a Red Dwarf podcast. I wanted to go for something Red Dwarfy, so I thought, let's quote a bit of the line, and then I wanted to make it kind of a sort of chiptune-y, sort of almost as if there was a, you know, Red Dwarf computer game on the Master System or NES kind of sound. So I used various different VST synths, so they're like virtual synthesizers within the computer that you use. And the main ones that I used for it were, there's a couple called Toad and Peach, which are based on the Nintendo NES sound chip. So that's why it sounds a bit bleepy and 8-bit computery. But then I also put various effects over it afterwards, which make it actually not sound like something they could do, because you couldn't wobble it.
I'm a massive sucker for chiptunes.
Yeah.
And the moment you sent that to me, I was like, yep. Yeah. Like, no, you know, don't edit it. That's fine. I like that. Let's have that. But how long does it take to compose something like this theme?
So this one took me a while because I had to transcribe and work out how to put the music in there. I'm a guitarist, not a keyboard player. So what I had to do was work out the notes that I needed on a guitar and then translate them into FL Studio, so into the piano roll on there. So that took a bit of time, but overall it didn't take, you know, it's probably end-to-end probably took me about maybe 3 hours to do the whole thing. And right. I think it worked out okay.
I do too. I bloody love it. So when we came to you, and a similar thing with Carl, we just came up and said, could you give us a theme tune, please? And didn't really give you anything other than we want a theme tune for a Red Dwarf podcast. Is it helpful or a hindrance when people are more specific than that?
Totally varies, because depending on what they're asking for, it depends on whether I can do it or not. You know, if somebody's asking for, I want this to sound exactly like Eddie Van Halen's guitar solos, I'm going to struggle a bit because I'm not that good a guitarist. But if, you know, if somebody says make it sound like it came from the 80s or something like that, I can do that. If somebody says I want a hip-hop beat on it, I can do that. If it's that kind of, if somebody wanted a full orchestra playing on it, I might struggle a little bit.
Right.
I could approximate some of the sounds, but
so you play live instruments to make the sounds in your podcast, is that right?
It depends on the piece. There are, in the Shipwrecked and Comatose theme tune, there are no live instruments on there. It's all synthesizers and drum machines. But I physically used a guitar to work out what the notes were, because that's my main instrument.
And would you have preferred to have done some of the instrument playing, or does it not matter? It's all about being creative.
If I'm using guitars or vocals and everything, it's a lot more equipment I've got to plug in. So it does take a bit longer to get everything set up. And I've got to make sure I've got the time and the space to do that, which isn't always easy with having a four-year-old, because it means I can't do really noisy guitars after she's gone to bed, and I can't record something that I need absolute quiet in the background for when she's awake.
Right, that does make sense.
Yeah.
And so, do you think this is one of your favourites that you've ever come up with of all the theme tunes that you've composed?
Yeah, I would say arranged more than composed, because if I say composed, then Howard Goodall might get annoyed that I nicked that melody. But yeah, it's the first dedicated piece of music that I've written actually for a podcast. The ones that I've done before, so for my own podcasts, there's various bits of music that I've got on there that I already had lying around from other experiments or things that I'd been messing about with. So like the Weeding Music theme tune is an old track where I was trying to sound like Ministry covering the Ramones. And
that's a look.
Yeah.
That's a trend.
And, you know, going for a sort of Ministry, Stooges, Ramones kind of sound, and hadn't got around to recording vocals on it yet. And then we started doing the podcast, and I thought, well, I'll stick that on there. But this one was built from the ground up. I need to write some music for this Red Dwarf podcast, so we know, you know, the style of where we're going with it, rather than it being just random bit of music that, oh, that'll fit. So, yeah, I like the fact that it's the first bit of work I've done that was like to order, like that.
And I'm so glad that you're both Red Dwarf fans, because it's nice to have the people that have brought their artwork, brought their effort to the podcast to continue on as guest hosts. I'm going to ask you a couple of random questions about being on Shipwrecked and Comatose before we go. Which episode that you've done do you feel is the one that you've enjoyed the most? We'll ask Colin that first.
Oh, man, I don't know. I've enjoyed all of them. They all sort of blur a bit, to be honest. Not the Christmas special, because I was utterly fucking terrible on that quiz because I couldn't think quick enough. Just like now, whenever I'm put on the spot. I enjoyed recording. See, we do them in blocks of two. So sort of I particularly enjoyed doing the series two ones. So that was Queeg and Parallel Universe I did. And I enjoyed doing that. We did some particularly good discussions on the Queeg one, particularly about like Charles Organs.
And there was the running gag in the Queeg one as well.
Yeah. So anyway, Queeg shows up. But yeah, so I think Queeg's probably my favourite now I've thought Brilliant. About it.
And Carl, coming across to you, which is the favourite episode you've done so far?
I think my favourite one that we've done is probably Better Than Life. Just from the fact it's such a big thing, and we got talking about not only the episode itself, but how it was much further reaching in things like the books.
Yeah.
And sort of things like that. That was one, I think it was where I felt more comfortable after season one. Yeah, I kind of settled in a bit during those ones more. So for me, I really, really did enjoy doing those. I quite enjoyed, as much as painful as it was for you, I did enjoy doing the American specials. I did the edit on those ones, and I must admit, I kind of shot myself in the foot with that. I was like, yeah, we had a really good discussion about that. And then editing it later was like, God, we went on for a while.
That's the difference between your editing style and mine. I just keep pretty much everything in and cut out the ums, ers and ahs. Whereas you were quite clever with your edit of that and made me sound vaguely intelligent rather than someone who rambles as fuck.
I don't think you rambled that much during it. When I showed you a picture of what the edit looked like in Audition, I always know when you're surprised at something, because you always send it in one word in full capital letters, and that's, mate.
Yep.
Mate.
When I got that, I was like, I may have over-edited here. Because it was in tiny little snippets all the way through. But I did enjoy the Christmas special as much as I did walk away from it thinking they're never going to ask me back on this round.
Oh, dear me. Carl, I'm going to put you on the spot and Colin time to think with the next and final question. Going back on the past few series that we've done, is there an episode that you wish you would have claimed? For people that don't know, we have a spreadsheet where the guest hosts can basically claim which episodes they want to do in two block parts. And it's kind of pandemonium, first come, first served. And Matt is a bit kind of good at it. So is there any episodes that you would have really liked that you missed out on, do you think?
Oh, I think it'd be in season three, because I'm at the end. So I'm doing the last day and I've forgotten which one comes before that.
Time slides.
So time slides and the last day. Oh, no, actually, in season two, I'd quite like to have done Thanks for the Memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd quite like to have done Thanks for the Memory. That is one of my favourite kind of time sort of travel memory sort of, you know, non-linear episodes. I think it was one of the most clever ones of those early years, so I really would have liked to have done that one.
I think I've found that when I've been doing episodes that made me think more than I would have done as a kid watching it, so episodes like Thanks for the Memory and also Marooned, which goes very, very deep into friendship and psychology, and they're both could have been quite serious drama. And I really, really enjoyed looking at Red Dwarf in a different way. So I can see why you picked that one. Good choice.
I think it's during season two when we did it that I think it's Better Than Life when we're talking about Rimmer's loss of his father. About halfway through, I realised, like, we're going quite deep here.
Yeah.
Initially, I was like, people aren't going to want to listen to this because we're getting quite maudlin. And then the fact that people are listening to this and continue to keep listening to it, I'm over the moon about.
Oh, yeah. It's by far the most popular podcast that I'm on.
Yeah, I think same for all of us.
Yeah. And so, Colin, same question to you. If you could turn back time, if you could find a way, what episode would you have picked to have done that you didn't cover?
Well, I'm really happy with all of the ones that I did, to be honest, so I wouldn't want to not do any of those to swap it. But if I needed to do an extra one somewhere, probably Better Than Life, I think, because it's, I mean, they're all fucking great episodes. But yeah, Better Than Life, I think's an interesting one because it's the first one where they sort of go out of the studio setup. So it's, you know, it's like a new sort of frontier for them. And I think we could have done some interesting discussion on that, definitely, although it was covered expertly by Brother Carl here, so you know.
Everybody loves a Welsh quarry.
Gentlemen, I've had a lovely time learning about the stuff that you've done for the podcast outside of hosting it. And I just want to say thank you so much for dedicating your time to the podcast before we'd even fucking recorded a single episode.
No problem.
That's all right. We've enjoyed it. Enjoyed listening to all of them and stuff, you know.
I'm still confused how I got on it.
And we always kind of have massive, massive blithers at the end where you can find all of our 100 podcasts, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not going to do that for this episode. I think if maybe, Colin, you tell everyone where they can find your music elsewhere on the interwebs.
Okay, so my music that's similar-ish? That's not a fucking word. Similar-ish. My music that is the most similar to what I've done on here is I have an electronic music project called Warwickshire Necropolis Railway Company, and you can find that on Bandcamp. It's under Warwickshire Necropolis Railway Co.bandcamp.com, and yeah, there's an album up on there that you can download, and download it for free if you want, or you can send me money if you want to, you know.
I actually had a listen to that the other day. And you know how, like, when you've got mates who have got an artistic project and they're really enthusiastic about it and they say, go on, listen to this, read this, watch this. And you're like, what if it's shit? What am I going to do if it's shit? And I'm really glad to say that it genuinely isn't shit. I sat down, listened to it, and went, fucking hell, my mate Colin made this. And it is very much worth a listen. Give that a whirl.
Cheers.
Carl, where can people find you on the internet when it comes to logo design and graphic work and shit?
I haven't really got a sort of online home for my graphic work and shit, but I'd say there are a number of podcasts that have got it on there. If you probably follow me on Instagram at I Am Mr. Carl, I will put them up there at some point, just showing what I've got. And I believe soon I will be tending my wares and actually putting my services for sale. So if people do want podcast artwork, I will be able to provide for a small nominal fee.
So perhaps maybe get in touch with you over Instagram. Maybe by the time this episode goes out, to be honest with you.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Brilliant. Thanks, boys.
Not a problem.
No worries. See you next time.
So, thank you for listening to Shipwrecked and Comatose. And until next time...
Can't believe you guys make notes.
Shipwrecked and Comatose, a Red Dwarf podcast, was created and produced by Mark Adams and Kurt North. You can find us on Twitter at Red Dwarf Pod, and we are part of the We Made This Podcast Network, which can be found online at wemadethispod.com or on Twitter at We Made This Pod.
Hello, everyone. This is Tony, Network Chief of We Made This. As you know, our podcast network brings together a brilliant assortment of talent who talk about all kinds of pop culture content, such as the episode you've just listened to, or maybe you're just about to listen to. We're not going anywhere, but we'd love to keep the lights on for even longer if you're able to support our network on Patreon. For just £2 a month, you get your name in lights and the satisfaction of knowing you're helping us produce more great audio. And for £3 a month, you'll get your name in lights, but you'll also get access to an exclusive bi-monthly podcast from the We Made This talent pool on podcasting, pop culture, and, well, you tell us. We'll take your suggestions. For less than the price of a coffee per month, you can help keep We Made This going. Just head to patreon.com/WeMadeThis. That's patreon.com/WeMadeThis. And get the ball rolling. Now, back to your scheduled programming.
Elsewhere on We Made This. Back to the decade.
And then, yeah, like you said, Dom Toretto responds with, "Your mistake is thinking you're in the United States. This is Brazil." And then everyone points their guns at him.
Great plan.
Quite a scene.
I love all the guys with armor and tanks are like, "Hey man," Swiss versus the Rock, "this is a lot of heat. We should get out of here." Fuck.
Get out of here, man.
Oh, man.
Cerebral Jukebox.
I think as I've got older, I don't care what people think of my music taste anymore. I'm happy to admit that, like, I really missed the boat, because like in the 2000s I was moody, angsty teen and I was to Papa Roach and Linkin Park on the daily, and I'd be ashamed to admit that I kind of like Savage Garden and Craig David, and I had this very strange diet. But now I go back and listen to all these like 2000s UK garage tracks and they were absolutely astounding.
Life's milestones.
So when I met my wife, we couldn't decide who should go first for having kids. We knew we both wanted to. And so we kind of were up for playing a bit of Russian roulette.
Okay.
We also, in Canada, we get a year of maternity leave when a baby is born. And so we wanted to each have a baby so that we could have a year together with our whole family and just like get to know each other. And right. So we opted for that, and we found a known donor that was willing to provide us with some sperm, and we both got pregnant around the same time, and our babies were born 25 days apart.
With the same donor?
Same donor, yeah.
Does that make them twins?
We call them twiblings, twin siblings.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love this.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This podcast network.